Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I am Adam, here is Danielle.
Hello.
So, that was so much fun. Nobody knows what I'm talking about yet.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
No, this interview that we had with Aaron and Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, it wasn't even really an interview. It was like a conversation. It was like being out to dinner with two awesome people, just literally talking about life.
Yeah, I mean, so much so that we missed the first like 2 minutes of the recording of the conversation. I didn't know we started. Like we just hopped on and just introduced ourselves and just started talking. And that was it. It was just like right away, just a vibe that was happening. And I was like, fuck, hold on, everybody, stop. So when we cut in to the episode, by the way, I did my best, but it should make sense.
Yeah. I think, well, when I first reached out to Aaron, so it's Oliver and Aaron Hudson, who we have on the podcast today. When I first reached out to Aaron, I was sort of like, hey, you know, I know you guys started a couples podcast. I've listened to it. I love it. Do you think you guys would come on? And I didn't know much about her other than what I had heard on the podcast. And I really like their podcast. I mean, very much. So she said yes. And I was so excited about how just real she was and they were together. You and I think we don't get to do a lot of podcasts with other couples who are quite so real and so refreshing and vulnerable. They've been through infidelity. They talk a lot about, you know, Oliver's parents are Goldie Hawn and, you know, who's been married to Kurt Russell for 40, or not married, they've been together for 40 years, never married. And I loved the connection that you guys had as sort of like his parents, you know, to attain this status of where they are. There's so much pressure for him, you know, as an actor and for you and your business, but it's true.
I just find that hilarious.
By the way. Yeah.
So, compared to me, you know,
in your business, how, you know, your dad was this really like, you know, big presence and huge, huge,
like high status within the industry,
within your industry. Right. And it was the same kind of thing. So there were all these connections that were made, but it's a fantastic conversation. They're so real talking about how they went through infidelity and quite honestly are a testament to the fact that if both people really want it, it can work. It can happen.
I also really enjoyed just talking about like the stupid everyday shit, like with kids and with marriage. Like, you know, they're these celebrities and we're these nobodies, you know, and just to connect like that, because you never think talking to a celebrity like, oh my God, they're normal people too.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and
normal
so
problems,
are.
Same
they're
issues,
so down
same,
to earth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Loved it.
So check out their podcast. We were on last week, but they have so many good episodes. Unconsciously Coupled, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow them on Instagram. Oliver's Instagram is hilarious. Erin's Instagram I've shared, and I will share it again. She's wonderful, and you're just all going to want to be her best friends. They're just fantastic.
Don't forget, Valentine's Day is coming up. M&M Podcast 15 for 15% off the Date Night Questions book at marriageandmartinis.com.
Yes.
Right? Only available on this podcast is that promo code.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
How'd I do? Right off the cuff.
You did great. You did great.
I felt like a car salesman.
All right. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks.
No, you were talking about your friends and how, you know.
Yeah, well, each one has their different, you know, ideas of what is horrendous, you know.
And like I was saying, is that person saying, well, at least he didn't cheat. But it's like when trust is broken in some sort of way, it doesn't matter. And you, I have a lot of friends where I'm like, just, it's easy for you to judge on the other side because it hasn't happened to you, as with many things in life, until you are literally in the shoes, you know, dealing with this situation, just keep your mouth shut.
Right.
And don't, you know what I mean? Like judge on anybody, because I feel like we do it all. We all do it. Like even in the press, right? With somebody famous or a couple or something happens, immediately we want to say, oh, you know, this or that, or put all these judgments. And it's like,
especially with infidelity, you know, because it seems to be the ultimate sin, which of course they're, you know, everyone has afflictions. We're in relationships. You know what I mean? Perfection doesn't even exist. The word itself, I'm not sure why it's even in the English language, because nothing is perfect. I mean, and then when you are dealing with sort of these certain things in your own personal relationship, it takes someone like Aaron, honestly, who I've always says is very evolved, to look at the big picture. I think we're very quick to throw everything away if one thing goes bad, or right. If one of us fucks up, it's like, oh, that's it, we're done. Rather than take a larger 30,000 foot view, look at the relationship and understand, okay, this, he's a great man. He's kind. He's generous. He's funny. He's all of these things. And this is what's fucked up. Why is it fucked up? There are reasons for it. Right. It had nothing to do. It's nothing to do with Aaron. It's nothing to do with our relationship. This is my own psychology from growing up, you know, child of divorce, needing validation from women because mom was off doing movies, even though she was an amazing mother. There's a lot that goes into it. Fear. All of that stuff, so much so that I didn't want to get married. You know, I didn't want to get married. My mom is the one, you know, who's been with Kurt for 40 years now, not married, but she was the one who said, what are you doing? You know, give her a ring. Like you, this is what the next step is. And I was like, oh shit. Like, really? And I freaked the fuck out, basically.
Well, even because, so, and yeah. I don't know any other, like, we say, you know, as long as you both shall live or whatever. And I'm sort of like, we got married. I was 24 when we got married, which is super fucked up thinking back
he
on
was,
it.
We were 20. He was 24 when we got together, right. Which is, it's just right. So young.
But right. Like, what, I mean, we were literally just growing up. I mean, in what world does it make sense that, like, you think that, like some huge mistakes are not going to happen as long as we both shall live. Like, I don't know. It just, it seems possible. To me, like, why is that not in the manual? Yeah. You know, like,
exactly. Well, I remember writing in our vows, which is so funny.
As long as we both shall live. But wait a minute, you did what?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, wait, so you were, and especially like, you were 20 when you got married, but then you guys made like you did something to break each other's trust at one point. Come on.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, like I remember in our vows, I said something like, you know, I don't remember word for word, but talking about kind of the roller coaster of life and the ups and downs and like, you know, there's nobody I'd rather do that with. Meaning like if shit gets hard, you kind of know who your person is. I was never expecting what happened. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I remember the feeling of like wanting to just run, wanting to just leave, being like, fuck you. How could you do this to me? Like, I'm going to show you. I mean, all of the ego, all of the things that, you know, I wasn't just some like calm, evolved person, like, oh, sweetie, we're going to get to the root of this. No. I mean, it was not that.
No.
It was dark and ugly and like rough in the beginning.
And you did break up for a while, right?
Yeah, we were like separate. You know, this was like, I found out like 5 minutes basically after we got married. So there we are on this high and honeymoon and trying to get a baby. And, but yeah,
I told her, we were in Vegas. We were driving back from Colorado to Vegas and I just couldn't hold on to it anymore. And I told her over dinner and then it trickled out. But man, that was rough. I was throwing up. I was in the hotel room. And if I was being directed, they'd cut the scene and be like, all right, dude, Oliver, way over the top. You got to take you gotta bring it down. Like, you look just ridiculous. Because I was like, oh, you're going to ruin my life. I mean, I was a crazy person, you know.
So was your thought that, okay, we'll get over this? Or was your thought like, this is it? She's going to, this is it?
In the moment, that was it. I wanted my mommy. I mean, literally, I wanted my mommy because I was receiving no love from her. Of course not. And
trash cans to the head.
Yeah. I mean, and she was icy calm, which was almost worse. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It was gnarly because I was like, just yell at me or something. She's just kind of like Sharon Stone vibes from Basic Instinct, just looking at me like, oh my God. But there was a moment where I knew that things might be okay. And that was on the ride back from Vegas to LA. I left the car there because I couldn't drive. I was so distraught. So we got a car, a limousine, to take us home. And I was just staring out the window, just crying, losing it, just being like, I can't believe I've just fucked up my entire life. I've been married 2 months.
And I was sitting there thinking, so this is why, like, celebrities, like, you know, just break up after 3 months of marriage. You know, you like read these stories and you're just like,
right,
this is what happens. And I remember thinking, you know, it was like, just, I was in shock, really. And I was like, you're going to have to call my dad and tell him why we're getting a divorce.
Right. Hey.
But then, that's on you.
But in faith, which is another funny story, but she took me and put me on her lap in the car and then started like rubbing my hair, stroking my hair. Cause
this
she
was on the way home from dinner.
After yeah. Cause she knew I was just, and that
you
was
are an angel, Aaron. Oh my God.
That was the moment I was like, okay, like there's some hope. Of course, you know, then it takes all the turns and now I'm living at my mom's house and she's living at her best friend's house. Cause the house that we bought is sort of, you know, tainted.
Even though nothing happened there. It was just like,
right. It was just like that whole again. Energy of all of it. And
here's the other thing. It's like, when you tell this story now to kind of couples, you know, with three kids and together 20 years and this and that, you think about it right now. Very different story. This was after, you know, we had been together 6 years of our early 20s, partying, traveling. Life was very like simple. We did not have kids. We didn't, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of things that I think went on to lead up to that. And I will say, I had always said, if something ever happens, right? Like, we all make mistakes. I, you know, still flirt. I still want to have other, you know, men find me attractive. Like, you know, because we're getting married, it's not like cut off. Like, and I also knew who I married, as a therapist would say to me all the time, very sexual, flirtatious, charming person. Right. So I was very reality based. And I think for me, I would always say to him, you know, we're traveling, he's on movie sets, whatever. If anything ever happens, obviously I hope it doesn't, but like, I just want to hear it from you. Meaning I don't want to hear it from somebody else. I don't want to not know.
Or a tabloid or like.
Yeah, exactly. Or anybody calling or something. Cause there was something to me that felt like, if you have the guts and the balls to kind of come and admit your wrongdoing, there's a little shame involved. And I think for him, it was the feeling of, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm willing to risk losing you to tell you that this went on. So moving forward, if there's any chance of our relationship, I want it to be clean and pure. And I don't want to bring kids into this
that
dark,
was the
darker
big thing
side
for me too. It was children, you know, so, children. I was like, who the fuck am I? I mean, I'm taking Silkwood showers, like Brillo padding my balls off because I'm just so ashamed and crying in the shower. And then I'd go like make myself a cocktail. I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit better. I'm going out. You know, I mean, I was fucked up. I was a little bit fucked up, you know.
And I think I also just had this feeling of like, you know, he's not perfect, you know, either am I, like whatever, things might happen. But I found a way to kind of say, it doesn't mean this is going to work, but the fact that you kind of told me and I didn't like find out from somebody else, it's almost like I looked at it like, you know, if you're doing drugs and you get caught, there's a difference of getting caught than coming forward. Meaning like getting caught means, oh shit, I have to be done doing whatever I'm doing, whatever that is, like, you know, gambling, drugs, cheating. I have to be done. Whereas if you come forward, you're done yourself for a reason, whatever that is, maybe because you're about to get caught or whatever. But there was something inside of me that made it feel like, you know, just, I don't know. There was it took a lot. And I think that comes from caring, you know, for
right.
somebody or something. And so there was a little bit of that involved along with, I don't know. I'm very like reality based. Like once I took my ego out of it, I was like, I'm madly in love with this person. And I don't want to have like a dark hate and go down that path. Whatever happens with us, I really want to like resolve it in a way and figure it out. Because at the time we were young and like having sex, everything was great. I was very confused. I was like, this isn't, you know, like you're not getting what you need here, but maybe being in a committed relationship is not what you need, you know? So that was where we went with it. So it was
Oliver, how long was it in your mind that you were like, I got to come clean. I got to talk to her. I got to let her know what's going on. Like, how long was that? Cause that eats at you. Like, I can understand when you said, I want my mommy. I want to be held. I want to be like, cause that shit eats you up. Like,
I mean, it's hard, man. Like, I think I don't want to be generalizing here, but I think women for the most part are a little bit more open and able to express themselves. Vulnerability, I think, is easier for women than men. Generally, but I think it's much harder. It's much easier said than done, just to sort of for men to sort of say, hey, here's what I'm feeling, or here's what I've done, and run the risk. And so for me, it was just a buildup, and it was building and building and building to the point where I just literally couldn't hold it in anymore.
Yeah.
We were at dinner and she says, so who was that called you in the car? And normally there's an easy answer, but I just couldn't do it anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, he didn't answer a phone call in the car. That was
right.
Obviously a red flag, but I wasn't like, who was that? And let me see. And, you know, I had no.
Were you suspicious, or it was like a super shock to you? Yeah, you weren't suspicious.
I mean, when I say like super shocked, now, of course, looking back, were there 100 signs? Like, once I realized, yes, but I was also very, you know, kind of benefit of the doubt. And it was like, if he was out partying, I was like, well, I know he's coming home to me. Or, you know, it's like, oh, go flirt, do whatever. I'm not threatened by that. I'm not a jealous person.
He almost knocked me out once.
And then, yes. So there was a night where like,
I get dropped off. And I get dropped off and I am drunk and walking up into our porch and she's standing there with her arms crossed.
No, I can see the car. And this is also like before like real cell phones and social media and all that kind of stuff. But I see that it's a girl dropping him off. And immediately he comes up and I was like, oh, who just dropped you off? And he's like, John.
And I was like, John, my best friend, John. Right. And she goes, wrong answer.
Right.
Fucking a right hook to my face. Like, I crumbled up.
I get it. Yeah.
Because she had called John and John's asleep.
Well, like, and also I can like see,
you see her in the car.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My point is, to answer your question, the real issue, the problem came with not wanting to be this person, but at the same time, not being able to help it. And that's where the addiction, which we call sort of a lowercase a, because it wasn't astronomically completely insane, but there was an addictive quality to it. That rush that you feel, the fact that you don't want to be this person, but you kind of can't help it. I had friends enrolled with friends who were in similar situations as I was, but they had no guilt or shame. It was just, they were just rolling through life. And I, meanwhile, I'm just, I have no sense of love for myself in these moments where they're sort of just cruising around doing their thing.
And honestly, you're making it sound like you were out like every single night.
No, I mean, it really wasn't that. Yes, it wasn't that as much as I might be.
2 year engagement. 2 years. Or 2 years.
But yeah. For us, it's the same. I mean, we dated in high school for a little bit. Like he was at a boarding school across from my school, and I would like hide in his dorm room at night. And then in the morning he would walk me to my car and then go meet his girlfriend for breakfast.
Okay.
But you know, our relationship, even to this day, hence, you know, the marriage of martinis, is like rooted in, we're both partiers, you know, we're both like,
partiers is the wrong word. We were partiers for a while let's say so many years. Yes, we are partiers with each other at home watching a movie.
Yes, I got you. But back in the day, it was fun. Right. I get it. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like the you know, from the beginning, it's not like I thought he was this good boy who was going to be like totally like provide perfectly and be the perfect romantic and this, like, none of that there were no signs of that. The signs were, we have a really fucking great time together. We have great chemistry. Yeah. I think he's an awesome person. He thinks I'm an awesome person. And like, we're going to probably fuck up a ton, but we're going to have a really good time while doing it. And we'll probably raise good humans and like somehow make it all work, you know? Yeah. Like,
and I think we still feel exactly the same way today.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. Awesome. I agree. I mean, you know, and I've said this 1,000 times, but as far as raising kids, it's not if we fuck them up. It's just to what degree.
100%.
Yes.
You know, 100%. I mean, yeah.
And I also think with him, like, I remember just, you know, I'm from the East Coast, came out to LA, never thought in a million years I was going to marry, like, you know, someone from LA, never mind an actor. It was just not going to happen. And then here I was like falling for this guy. And it was exactly that, you know, fun and sexy.
But I also not her type in any way, like
physically.
She loved like the preppy boy with the, you know, the really like the bent out hat with the tape, back, you know what I mean? Like lacrosse player.
Yeah, that's what I always dated before him.
Yeah, that was
so I'm wearing like these rock and roll leather jacket, vintage t-shirts. My hair is crazy long, like boot cut jeans at the time. Mm-hmm. And belt with belt buckles.
It's like sister was dating like Chris.
Yeah, I was like some like 70s wannabe. You know?
Right.
Yeah, this is a very similar story. I mean, she's from Princeton, New Jersey, with like the, you know, with all the deadheads and like, you know, into that kind of thing. I come from, you know, I was in the private school, but not from a private school area. I was born kicked out of public school, like not the best area. I'm in a band, I'm a drummer, you know, like smoking cigarettes and like wearing the Metallica t-shirts, you know.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. It's weird. And then, but I will say, and I don't know if you feel this way.
It's classic.
I knew that we were having, you know, I was having the most fun, obviously, like the chemistry, all of those kind of things. But I was like, underneath it all, this may not be, say, like marriage material guy, right? Because this was a little risky and it was fun. Mm-hmm. But I knew he was going to be such a good dad and father. And it, like, just from the beginning, just seeing who he was with, you know, kids and animals, knowing his story with like his dad leaving and that impact and Kurt coming in and all of these little things where I was like, you know, I remember saying to my parents, like, we may not get married. This may not be the traditional thing that you guys are envisioning, or even I thought for myself, but whatever it is, like, I know that this would, he'll be like an amazing person to raise kids with too. Just aligning on those, you know, kind of similarities or, you know, ideas or whatever you want to call it. But it was like stepping outside of maybe what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Which
your fairy tale wedding.
Yeah.
Right. But you did wind up having an awesome fair. But like, I'm so interested in, because when so I was raised like in a very, you know, my parents, as much as they're progressive, they were very much like they never said to me, like, go experiment, go have fun. You know, it was sort of like,
I grew up Jewish. My dad was sort of like, all right, bring home a Jewish boy. And, you know, he is, but it's,
you did that.
I mean, she did it, but.
Yeah, you know, she got like the pick of the litter of the Jews here. So, you know, like it wasn't that at all. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it was like, I think I was always on the trajectory of like, I'm going to be married and I'm going to have kids. And, you know, that was just like, that was what I, and then I was sort of like, oh my God, well, the younger I get married, then I'm like, I'm winning, you know, like then I've won. Right. If I secure him like early, yes, and I don't have to, then there's not the, oh, well, maybe she's not gonna, you know.
Right. And now, the pressure. Yep.
Yeah. And then we got married and I was like, what the fuck did I do? You know, you know, and like, and I was sort of like, oh, all my friends are probably like, oh, she's married. In the meantime, they were like, she's such a dumb bitch because we're still out experimenting. Right. And I did none of that, you know, like, right. I like, we were dating, I was living in New York City and like, I should have been out, you know, doing all the things I would
you
never
have regrets.
100%.
Oh yeah.
100%. And that's one thing we talk about all the time. Like,
well, I mean, I do too, because, you know, I felt forced into the marriage. You know, I wasn't ready. I don't think she was ready. And it was like, and it was like now or never. And I'm like, fuck, I guess it's now, because I don't live in the city. I don't go out to bars. Like, I live in suburb New Jersey and I work. Right. She goes to college. Like, I started my life. So it's like, okay, I guess we're getting married.
Yeah, I definitely forced him into it.
A beat to have kids?
No, or... I mean, like, and then it was like, let's start having kids.
I was like, let's get knocked up now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to work anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, talking about, like we talk about, like, cheating, or we talk about the shit that I've done. And then, you know, years later, we've talked about in the podcast, too, where it's like, well, you know, where has Danielle fucked up? Or where do we think Danielle's fucked up? It's like, okay, ready? We're getting married. We're having kids. I'm staying home. I'm not working. I'm doing it. And I was just like, okay, yes, dear. Okay. Yes. I guess that's how life works. Okay. I'm 28 years old. I don't know fuck about shit. You know, like, so let's just do what you say.
Wait, but you say that, but also at the same time, there was always this animosity that would like seep through. And I'm not saying he was wrong to have it.
No, but that sounds great. If you could explain to me animosity, please.
Right, was it resent? But resent,
there was
a lot
of resentment. Yes, there was a resentment seeping through all the time, and I would be like, "He really is pissed that I'm not working." Like, you know, because I was. I never said like, how do we do this? Should I work? Should you? I was just basically like, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. You're going to go to school. Like, that's what my parents did. And, you know, and that was right. And I never for a second was like, oh shit, that's going to be a financial burden for him. You know.
And luckily I was already in my career. I dropped out of college. That didn't, you know, pan out. Luckily I had a family business to fall back on, and which is what I went into at 20, 21 years old. So I was kind of already on my path. So I think maybe Danielle felt a little bit more comfortable in the fact that I'm working.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, Aaron was an actor. That's how we met in acting class. And, you know, she was doing better than I was and doing pilots and testing for shows. And I had a lot of jealousy. I was very jealous about that, even though we weren't in the same category. I'm a man, she's a woman, but still. And again, that goes probably way back to childhood shit. But, you know, eventually my career did what it did, and it worked. And we had our first baby, and then Aaron's like, all right, I'm done. I said, you don't want to go back, you know? And she's like, nope, that's it.
I mean, I won't say that, but I thought I would go back, like kind of just talking about it and answering questions to people like,
yeah, but it was all
back, you know, whatever. And I honestly, I thought I might, because I was seeing a lot of friends like take their babies to auditions and, you know, do all that stuff. And I do feel like I got pregnant right around a time that I was kind of, you know, booking a little more, you know, exciting projects and that kind of stuff. But once I had Wilder, I was like, I don't want to go back to the set. Like, I was like, and I think two things kicked in. Luckily, you were working, right? So there was no pressure or need, and you were working, meaning financially, big difference at that point and what I would be bringing in compared to him.
Right. That was how I felt too.
Right. Like, yeah,
what am I bringing in?
Now I'm like, fuck, two incomes would be great.
No,
right?
I know.
Right.
No,
like,
being an actor is a weird job, you know, because I think someone might look at me and I have some sort of pseudo celebrity. It's not like massive, but people do know who I am. And they might look at me and say, oh, dude, he's perfect. He's set. He's famous, quote unquote. But as an actor, you afford yourself a certain lifestyle based on the work that you're doing. I was on a show for 7 years and you're making money, you're doing your thing and you buy the house. And you're like, shit, things are going great. Once that job ends, right, you have $0.
Right.
And then you have to go get another job, not just a job that is a pilot. You have to get a job that is going to actually get on the air to really make money. Mm. So it's
you're making choices to provide for your family, right, and not making creative choices.
Right. So it's an interesting gig that I have. And of course, you stash away and you save and you try to put stuff away for a rainy day. But it's funny because now we're in this place where it's, you know, as much as I love Erin being the stay-at-home mom, I'm like, damn, it would be so great.
It's such a role reversal.
It'd be so great if there was just a little bit more dough. Just
well, if I can, if I can just be honest for a second, and it's going to sound like I'm kissing your ass, but I'm not, because we've been podcasting for 4 years now. And, you know, it's definitely like, it took a little bit, but you know, it's definitely been that second income that we really needed, yeah, you know? Yeah. And we've done podcasts with other couples throughout the years and stuff, but I'm telling you, like, you're gonna, people really connect with what you're doing. And I think it's like probably the most similar podcast I've heard, like, mm-hmm. as far as realness goes. And I'm telling you, like, people need it. So it's gonna get there because it's true.
No, it's like what you want is what you want to hear, right? Which is stuff that you're relating
totally.
To. And I remember thinking, I mean, you guys are definitely younger than us, even though we're on like the same trajectory of timeline and all that.
Yeah.
But I remember when you're younger, listening to kind of, you know, that say couple that's a little ahead of you or my friends that were older, it's like those little tidbits of wisdom or things that they would say really stick with you because, you know, there is kind of that honeymoon phase. Then there's the kid raising phase, which is the toughest and usually challenges all couples like nothing else really in a relationship. But when you come to the other side a little bit of being out of the babies and, you know, the same age kids that we are in now, mm-hmm. it's pre, what's it called? Where they leave the nest, empty nester.
Empty
phase,
nester. Right? Yeah.
We're not there yet, but there is this moment that things kind of plateau a little and you're like, oh, there you are. There we are again, right? We're not just surviving through babies and toddlers and all of that shit. There's a little tiny bit of this reconnection. And now you're like, okay, you know, who are we again?
Absolutely.
And there's a sense of what, wow, we made it through all of that. We're here.
I think
what's the future going to be?
I think we've done a good job though, from the beginning, making sure that you and I were taken care of, you know what I mean? As a couple, we weren't precious about staying with our kids, you know, until they're 18,
us too.
You know, it's like, well, let's go do our thing.
To a fault.
Yeah.
I mean,
if anybody
like,
was
let's
around,
go to a hotel room. Like, we need to keep our shit together and still have great sex and have fun and do our thing.
The number one advice I give to like my friend, you know, young friends or people is always like, you guys are a couple and your parents, and they're two separate things. So like, obviously, you know, it's the same, but like you have to nurture your relationship as much as you do, like kind of being mom and dad, you know? And so you said you had this great question you were going to, you know, bring up something about kind of modeling, you know, for your kids, you know, marriage and relationships and healthiness in a relationship. And I feel like we were both very aligned with that, which kind of modeled my parents. Like everybody loves my parents. They're still together. They're high school sweethearts. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say like, everyone's like, oh my God, your mom and dad, like it's a thing, right? They're the best.
High school sweethearts. Like her mom seen one penis.
Yeah. My parents too. My parents too.
It's crazy. And they're still really, really, really in love. Now, yeah, of course they, you know, annoy each other and all the bullshit, but they partied. Like they had their life too, but they were present when they were present. And like, so, you know, kind of seeing that made me feel you had a harder time kind of maybe being away from the kids and all of your childhood issues. But there was something for me where I'm like, I want my kids to see us have a good time together too, and us prioritize, you know, each other. And then there's something to be said for when your kids are not with you, the independence or resilience or whatever it kind of creates, you know, naturally, that they know they're okay without you, or that we're coming back, or, you know, a lot of that stuff, it creates less, I would say, stress anyways. Like, it was easier for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're parenting the grit out of our children. Yeah. I don't think there's
generally
much,
not us, but
no,
like,
I'm saying just generally,
everybody.
Like, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Generally, like, we are coddling, I think, in my opinion, too much. We're sheltering. We're not letting them fail. You know, we're afraid for their lives, you know, all the time. You are. but we our kids need to have grit. They need to learn how to fucking get by in the world. And it starts young.
You were saying that too, where you were like, I want them to see us, you know, fight.
Yeah. But since our kids are babies at every stage, and each of the three kids, they knew every weekend, mom and dad, we're going out to dinner once or twice a weekend, right? And there's a babysitter, and you have to be okay with that. And you can't call us. And if you do, we're hanging up on you, as long as everybody's safe and okay.
Oh, yeah. So
they need to know that we love each other and want to spend time with each other.
Yep.
Without them.
I always say, it's like, you guys have play dates when they were little. I was like, Daddy and I are going to go have a play date. Like, that's basically what it is.
And they,
like,
probably subconsciously love that so much, because it is. It's like, okay, my parents really like each other. Like, that's a really safe feeling when you're a kid, you know, that mom and dad really like each other and they want to be alone. And like, even if they're like, you know, I want you to stay home, or, you know, they're, I think really down deep, they're like, oh, wow, like, they like each other, and that's really cool, you know?
Well, yeah, they're going to cry and piss and moan when they're babies. And then when they're older, they're going to realize and look back and be like, oh, shit, they had a great time together, and my parents love each other. That's how I should be with my partner.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And sometimes, like, the hard part of them leaving, like, you know, obviously having a sitter or family or a nanny or whatever it is that they like or enjoy helps. But I remember our kids were literally like, bye. Like, they loved our nanny so much. She's family, obviously. But one time, remember Wilder, when we were in Colorado, definitely going through like a phase, it was a switch where he didn't care whenever we left. And then all of a sudden went through this, like, you know, hanging on, like, don't leave, crying. I mean, you know, devastating for me. But I remember literally being like dressed up, ready to walk out the door, so needing that time out and away from the kids and, you know, whatever it was for us. And I had a moment where I was like, am I going to give in right now? And Ollie's like, nope, we're going. And I was like, we're going. And of course, you know, I call the nanny like half an hour later when we get there. I'm like, is he okay? Is he still crying? And she sent me a picture, and he was like playing, you know, with his brother and fine. So I'm like, there is also that, not that it's manipulation, but there is this moment for the kid where they're like, are you going to, you know, break your word? Which is like, well, I'm going.
Right.
I remember thinking, he was much older, but there was a toddler type of, you know, age book that we read, and it was about building trust. And what they say is follow through, you know, is basically a version of trust for kids. And so if you say you're going to do something, you're subliminally kind of building trust at the same time. So I looked at that moment that was heartbreaking for me, but I was like, ultimately I stood by my word. I told him we were going. I told him we were coming back, you know, all of these things just to comfort him. And of course, you know, it's fine. And it's really those, you know, I had like, we have a few of those, but generally we're like, peace, we're out.
Like, well, that's like people who are like, oh, my kids are my whole world. And I'm like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
sorry for you.
No, it's true. And then
like, all right. So, you know, good luck with that, you know, because your whole world is about to like diss you in the worst way. And
oh my God, we told us to become a teenager and they don't give a shit about you. They reject you. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's, I mean, it's a form of like heartbreak. I mean, we have our 15-year-old.
How old are your kids?
So our oldest is 15. He's a freshman. And then we have a seventh grader who's 12, two boys, and then a little girl who's 9.
So she still loves you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I am.
So does the middle one. So does both.
The middle one, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, like, we, you know, did, like, crazy, like, you know, strict, like, sleep stuff, mm-hmm. you know, with the first and the second and even the third sleep training, all that. I was all about my sleep. Total opposite of, like, attachment parenting. But now with the little one, seeing, like, what's happening with the boys, I'm like, don't you want to come and, like, sleep in our bed? Like, I want to be in my own room. And I'm
right,
like,
oh. Right. But that's so healthy. I mean, I know it sucks, okay. But,
no, yeah, know, but it's good.
Right, it's good. Right. No, I know.
We've done strict nothing.
We've done strict nothing. Yeah. We're really, yeah, we have, as far as, like, we really suck when it comes to, like you were saying, seeing things through.
We're not great at that either. Like, I'm not talking about
There was one year where Erin was so angry in the car, she loses. She goes, if you don't stop doing this, we're going to cancel Christmas. And I look at her, I'm like, we're not canceling Christmas.
Right.
I'm like, that's just such an empty threat. There's just no world.
I mean,
where
that's right.
Ever.
Right.
Threats, but I just meant in that moment, the book that I read, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to try this like one time and make it happen. But
no, yeah, I no, but people but, who can do that, I'm like, please tell me
but,
how.
But honestly, selfishly, I don't want to be a strict parent. I'm not taking the phone away because that's a punishment for me. You know, 100%. That's a punishment for us.
You take away the iPad. Yep.
Right.
And it's we've been
that's a great point.
We too. I don't know about you guys, like, over there, but, like, when we were in LA, it was the time of our first kid. It was very much kind of the beginning of, you know, TV is bad and SpongeBob and sugar and toxins. I mean, it was just starting to kind of, you know, blossom at that time. And so many of our friends in LA were like, only wooden toys. And
not heard of splinters? What the fuck?
I know. How about just some fucking red and blue primary color plastic? Like, let's go.
And made in China all the way. If it's not made in China, it's not in our house.
I mean, that was us. And we were like, SpongeBob, let's do it. And, you know, ultimately we were kind of going against the grain at the time, but we also were like, as soon as you start restricting the kids too much, like, they just want it more, you know, and it kind of develops. And so, you know, sometimes we're like, pat ourselves in the back because our kids, if we're like, okay, guys, like, you know, time to put the iPad away, they're like, okay, cool. Because they have it when they want, right? They're like, oh my God, when am I going to get it back? Or no. And, you know, the timing and all that kind of stuff. But
now we don't ever ask to put the iPad
away. No, now.
I mean, it's like a total.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, it's also like our middle son, you know, he's a freshman also, and he's like struggled a little bit this year socially. And like, if you take their phone away, it's sort of like you're taking away their chance at being part of things socially. Like, I'd rather take away DoorDash for him. Like, that would hurt him way more.
Oh my God. Fucking DoorDash. I've had to.
DoorDash.
Yeah.
I'm like,
7-Eleven, like one bag of Doritos and like a big gulp.
No, or Wilder's got his boys over and it's like 3:30 a.m. And Taco Bell shows. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Weekend. And give me one of those tacos.
I know.
It's insane.
Also, do you guys think too? Because I, you know, it's so interesting. Like, when the kids were little, it was really about kind of screen time and, you know, barely iPads. They had like, I don't even know if they had them 15 years ago, but now everything they do is on a phone or a device, right? Socially, which you were saying. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's not, there's this like fine line kind of screen time, but also their lifeline. Really?
Wait, how old are your kids? I was trying to save this for our own interview. You know, but like, how old are your kids?
Yeah. No problem. So our daughter is 17. She's going to college next year.
Okay.
And I saw you went to Ithaca. That was actually, she visited. She toured Ithaca. She's not going there, but she loved it.
Okay, fun.
Yeah. And our son is 14. He's a freshman, and we have an 11-year-old who's in sixth grade. So.
Okay. So wait, all girls, boys, or no?
Just a daughter and two boys. Yeah.
Okay, so. And the two boys. So you're the opposite. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of questions.
But we're getting prepared for her to like leave. And, you know, there's part of me that's like, you don't even look both ways when you cross the street. Like, how are you going off?
And she's driving.
And she's driving. And we're like, but when she got her,
driving
she got her license, we were like, you literally don't, like, this is her, like, when she crosses the street, she's like, we're like, no, you need to, like, look left.
I know.
You know?
No, instead of a car, we prefer to get her an Uber gift card.
Right. So, that's
$30,000.
$30,000 gift card.
Amazing. I'm going to do that. I'm not kidding.
That's a funny idea.
I mean, I just didn't trust it.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. Like, thank God, like, our Uber bill is like, it's been an issue this
year.
Well,
I put the kibosh on it. I'm like, you guys are fucking Ubering everywhere. I've got $80 McDonald's coming at 4 a.m.
Right.
I'm like, we have to like pair back.
But I'm like the Uber. I'd rather like, I don't know, get stopped anything else. You know, mm-hmm. and have my kids Uber because there's a weird.
Well, she's very safety. She's very fearful of our kids doing anything, hurting themselves, like skiing.
Like, if I get some bubble wrap,
she like, really would. Like, she wants them to be like Yo-Yo Ma, like play the violin, and live in some sort of a closet for the most part.
Meanwhile, they're like, you know, doing backflips off ski jumps and like mountain biking, skateboarding.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
Our youngest, we were just in Snowbird in Utah.
Youngest boy.
And
he's a good boy, but.
What?
Bodie?
Yeah. And we were down at the lift line and the boys were all skiing together. And a few of them, or all of them, went to go ski a harder run. Bodie didn't want to do it. We get a sort of information that he is going down in a toboggan because he's hurt himself.
Oh, and no.
We don't know how.
How bad, right?
How bad. I had a good feeling it was not that bad, but anyway, he ate shit and hurt his knees, and we had spent, you know, the afternoon in the medical unit.
Right. Oh. Like, well, luckily our kids don't move much. Our middle son's a musician, so I'm always like, you can't do anything because if you break your arm, you're fucked.
Well, he was doing tackle football for a while, but he's just, you know, a smaller guy. But so like when
everybody else was doing tackle football.
At the age of 12, we were like, all right, we're cutting this off.
Yeah,
everybody else is growing a foot that year, and
you're shrunk.
Let's cut out on that. You're actually a really good musician. Let's go that route instead.
What instrument does he play?
He plays the drums.
He's a drummer.
Really good. He's a really good drummer. He's been drumming like literally came out. He was born drumming, and
he had some weird natural ability, like in diapers and wherever we would go.
Yeah,
it was just he would be drumming with whatever he can. Yeah, it's very, very cool.
You don't need to play basketball or anything. Yeah. Just sit on the couch. YouTube is great.
I'll take that. I mean, a sick prodigy drummer.
He's really good.
But listen, we love it, again, selfishly as parents, because we're going to Green Day concerts. We're going to see Blue Man Group. We're going to all the stuff that he loves that we love. So,
it's like my dream.
That's
I
amazing.
Always say.
That's
I'm always
amazing.
Looking at my kids. I'm like, can't you just be in the band? Like,
I'll send you some video. I'll be that obnoxious mom.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Just
got into guitar.
Getting into like guitar and music stuff. And he's
naturally talented. He's not like, I wouldn't call him like a prodigy, but he's just naturally talented.
That's awesome.
Gifted athlete as
but I'm like,
well.
Keep that going.
But he's playing guitar and he's really interested in sort of, you know, the Metallicas of them all.
Awesome.
They're touring, aren't they?
I want to go. They're going to be at MetLife in August. I really want to go. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I want to take him. I want to take him to a Metallica.
I asked my son. I he's not into that Metallica, you know, he's not into that. He's more into like,
but he would love it if you went.
But he said, no, I asked him, I really want to go. I would, you know, but he's like, eh, you know, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, he wants to go see. Metallica's a little step up that he's not.
Yeah, but he, to see a Metallica show, he would love it. Just force him. Like, oh my God.
That's what I think I should do. I really should.
Just force him.
Yeah. I'll be a strict parent. I'm going to force him to go see Metallica.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He'll be mad, but he'll love it. We just saw.
Oh,
I was going to say the Taylor Hawkins tribute we went to in LA.
Oh, that was amazing.
Incredible. I was like,
unbelievable. They did such a good job with that. Yeah.
I know. It was amazing. It was super fun.
I feel like we could talk all day long and you guys have to come back on, but please tell everybody like where they can find you and all that stuff.
Unconsciously Coupled, playing off of Gwenny's consciously uncoupling thing.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
I feel like we're unconsciously coupled, and meaning we're together. And even though we may not be conscious, it doesn't matter. Like, we exist together. I mean, that's sort of the vibe behind it. And it's on where you can find your podcast. I mean, I have two other podcasts, and it's something that Aaron and I wanted to do together to actually, you know, have something that we're in cahoots on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not just about parenting and sometimes passing ships. And interestingly enough, and you guys can probably understand this, when you have a microphone in front of your face and you're talking to your partner, it's entertainment for others, but it also is revealing to each other, you know? And you're saying things that you may not have said before. Fights have happened, and I know you guys had a big fight.
Well, we've said all the things we've never said before because of the
mic.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah. So,
wait, did you guys ever do or do currently therapy?
Yeah, we have done therapy, and we've done it separately also. But
I'm like, don't you feel like sometimes, like sitting down, weirdly, even though you're doing this podcast, it's almost like a therapy session?
No, we've spoken more in the 4 years doing a podcast than we have in 25 years of knowing each other.
No, I know. It's really great. And for Erin, it's an interesting thing because she gets a little bit nervous. Not nervous, but she just doesn't believe in herself enough, where she is witty as shit. She's funny as hell. I would never marry someone who wasn't extremely funny or who understood my insane humor. So for her, it's just about sort of, you know, letting go a little bit more. It's hard with me when I'm so open and just flying free.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had so many times where she's given me the cutoff sign, like, don't say that. And I'm like, fuck, man, like, you ruined the flow. And then we get this whole argument of like how we were in a moment and now it's gone. And
I get all
huffy and puffy and shitty, and like, I don't want to do it anymore. And of course, our editor now is having to listen to this fight.
But keep it in. Don't take it out. Well, don't ever take it out.
But you know what? For her to give you that advice, she's a huge hypocrite, because she makes me go back. I'm the editor, and the next day I'm editing shit out there. She's
It was literally like we'd record for 30 minutes and then he'd be editing for like 4 days.
If you could see the audio waves of our first year of podcast, it is chopped to shit.
Hilarious.
All over the place. I mean,
finally, were you just like, fuck it? I don't care.
Yeah. We were finally like, it's exhausting to edit every time. Like, people are always like, don't edit. And you know what it is? Also, we started to trust our audience more.
Yes.
You know, like at a certain point, I was sort of like, we would say things and I'd be waiting for the backlash and waiting for the backlash. Aww. And you know, sometimes it comes, you know, but then you're sort of like, they didn't get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But 95% of people are like, fucking A, thank you for saying that, know? Exactly. And so it was like, sort of like, once I could trust our audience, I was like, just put it out, whatever. And you know what? If somebody doesn't like it, they're not our audience, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
I actually always, like, sometimes I'm like, babe, my dad's listening.
That's true, I know. I mean, we're talking about
kids or whatever, but I'm like, I have to just put that all, like, out of my mind. And just,
if they listen, they've got problems.
Yeah. And then we're
well, and people always ask us, I don't know about you, but people are always like, what are you going to do if your kids listen? And I'm like, all right, we don't say anything bad about anybody. You know, we're not, you know, talking shit about people. We're literally like, you know, our life was hard. We fucked things up. Here's how we made it work. Good. Yeah. Let them listen. You know, also, not that they'll want to. Also,
they're never going to want to. That's my
they're
point.
They're never going right. to want to.
Of course.
Like, we see it. We don't need to.
No, they don't. They do not care. I try to show them things I've done as an actor, and they're like, I don't want to.
Yeah, they're like,
they will. One day they will. Just wait. They're gonna be super proud.
Of course, of course. Yeah. But yeah, so it's just a fun thing for us to do, and it's very open and real and candid, much like you guys are. And you know, we like to interview sort of these experts and bring people in who we admire. You know, we have some celebrity couples who come on to sort of talk about how they've met and what their relationships are like, and it's fun. I mean, it's a blast. We have a blast doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got it. We used to go to LA all the time to like
all record. The time.
Oh
yeah, that one time we went to LA.
Yeah. But okay, if you guys come, be a blast.
It would be a blast.
Person, and then we can just, you know, reminisce about the old days.
Yeah. It would. The pandemic fucked it all up, but we'll have to do that.
No, we're ready for a trip. It's been years, so we're ready to go.
Do you have a tattoo on your ring finger?
I do. This is my first tattoo. Yeah.
Him and Howard.
Fuck that. Oh. No. Don't say that.
It's a B for Beth also. Don't say
that. I have an E for Aaron.
Oh, okay. No. So mine's, B. Yeah. So I had the idea before Howard, so I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want the comparison.
Howard and Beth from Stern?
Yeah. He has the B. He has a B on his ring.
You copied
finger.
Stern?
No.
He copied him.
Stern copied
without
me.
Without knowing it.
But you love, I mean, I'm a massive, massive Stern fan. I've been on the wrap up show twice.
Oh, really?
My sister was on Stern and Steve
Brandano. We love him.
Steve Brandano called me and I was literally in the middle of a scene in Calgary. And he goes, "Yo, your sister's on. Do you want to call in?" And I'm like, "Fuck yeah." And I was like, "We're shutting down production, you guys. I'm calling
you." Oh my God.
Stern is like my idol.
He needs to have you on.
I'm not big enough yet. My goal in the next show that I'm doing is to do a show that Howard Stern would watch. So I know the genres that he likes. So Stern can actually, you know.
I get it.
Oh no, we've been fans since the early 90s. We love Howard.
Yeah,
oh,
right. The best. All right, well, thanks, guys. This was
freaking
awesome.
Yeah.
Please come back on soon.
We will. Without
all right,
a doubt.
Cool.
From LA, of course.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
All right.